Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
On a Friday, Ben and Woods edition. Great to be here with all of you guys. Looking very active and alive in the YouTube chat. You can watch us there, certainly. Thank you for listening on your radio, the Odyssey app, however you consume us. We really, really appreciate that. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer, and Ben Higgins, the brilliant, brilliant sports mind that he is, and your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
And I've thrown on my Grand Ole Barbecue hat because it is time to talk a little baseball with Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue on a Friday morning. His screen name is Irrelevant Profar. Oh, that's spicy.
Ooh, I love that's how spicy that got.
Jake is very relevant to us in the San Diego Padres, of course, now.
Yeah, how funny was that?
It was amazing.
To me, that is the best burn, is the you are irrelevant.
Yes.
That is the best.
It hurts.
Like, and for it to come from Will Smith, who has the spice level of
milk,
a stick of butter.
Milk. Yeah.
I was impressed. Like, I think you actually have to tip your cap to Will Smith.
Oh, he did.
Until, of course, the next day got it shoved right in his face.
Yeah. Yeah. But I understand that Profar is very relevant to you and your listeners. And I'm not trying to throw shade. I apologize. Good morning, everybody.
Morning, buddy. I thought, again, chippy baseball is truly amazing. It's the best kind of baseball. And I'm not talking headhunting, throwing 99 at somebody's back or neck. But chippy baseball, just a little bit of jawing, firing the team up. I thought it was cool. I mean, the next day they asked Profar about it. He's like, yeah, I screwed that up. Sorry, I kind of misinterpreted it. And then gets that big knock. And the baseball gods, as I said, Jake, they rarely smite the Dodgers for what they say. And it was fun to see them get smited for once.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like a little comeuppance to soothe the soul.
Yes, it does. We love comeuppance. We got ours last year with our very high payroll and all that. And, you know, we kicked it around the last couple of days because the Padres were off last night. And, you know, I mean, I see a lot of LA Dodgers fans flipping out right now, and I don't think they have much cause for concern, being that they have, you know, six guys coming off the IL that could be pretty good rotations for a lot of teams.
So, yes, but the outfield sucks.
It does.
It's a bad outfield.
It's a bad outfield.
And it's being covered up. Covered up is not fair. It's being papered over by the fact that they have like MVP candidates at first base, shortstop, designated hitter. Will Smith is an incredible catcher.
Yeah.
Max Muncy's still good at third base. Like, the infield's amazing. But boy, that outfield, PU. James Outman has looked horrible. Chris Taylor looks like he's in a Space Jam baseball remake. And Kike Hernandez's return home has not been so glorious. And if there's a reason to doubt the Dodgers, it is that the outfield is kind of butt and the bottom of the order is similarly so.
You know, we discussed this on our roundtable yesterday with Tony Gwynn Jr. said, yeah, they're still going to win the NL West. And we all tended to agree, but there's different levels of winning. I mean, if they win 94 games and win the NL West, that's a pretty disastrously bad season for what was expected for the Dodgers
is
this
it,
year.
Is it not, disastrously, though?
No, I don't think it's disastrous. Wrong.
You win the West.
If they win in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. Like, this Dodgers fan base has seen that team win 178 games in the regular season and then poop their pants in October. And so if they win 90 in the regular season and they win the World Series, like, no one's going to be complaining entering the playoffs. Like, if everyone is healthy and ready to go for Los Angeles in the playoffs, they're just as formidable as Atlanta is. So am I worried? A little. Am I panicking if I'm a Dodgers fan? No. But I doubt anybody who's listening to this is.
No. Hey, no. We definitely have Dodgers fans listening. No doubt about it.
They do.
Can I bring up a topic? Did you guys see this Colorado Rockies FAA story?
Yeah, we were just talking about that on the air. 20 minutes ago.
I just filled them in on the story that I saw. And if you guys haven't seen it yet, the FAA is investigating the Colorado Rockies, who we'll head to Colorado and play them on Monday for a four-game set.
Don't go in the cockpit when you head there on Monday, okay?
Yeah, seriously. So tell everybody kind of what happened, but they're under investigation right now. And again, people love to post their crimes, I guess, on social media, which is part of the problem.
This is like the hardest I've laughed in a long time. Hensley Mullins, who's the hitting coach for the Rockies, posted a video of himself sitting in the cockpit of the plane, like pretending to fly it. And you can't do that.
Can't do that.
You can't do that. And the FAA is investigating United Airlines. And
it's a pretty open and shut case, actually, here.
Now, there's so many funny things about this, right? Like, this doesn't happen. This could happen to any organization, right? It's just like one person breaking a rule and the pilot letting them in. But that it is happening to the Rockies, who are a jambalaya of disorganization, is just the most fitting thing ever. It happened at altitude, and it's the Rockies. Like, I can't stop laughing at this story. It's all so good.
Now, Jay, you're a younger guy, but back in the day, like when Woods and I were kids, sometimes they'd let kids come up and come see the cockpit during the plane. The pilot would be nice. Hey, would you like to come up and see the controls? And they'd invite you up there.
Flight. It was during a flight.
Yeah,
it was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was during a flight.
Before 9/11, things were very different
but
in this world.
I never flew a plane when I was a kid. I got the airline wings and all that. But I never got to sit and fly it.
When I was a kid, I used to be able to do tax evasion on a plane. Nowadays, you can't do anything. World's changed. Don't do this. If who on the Padres is the most likely to accidentally get in trouble for this? Is a fun conversation.
Well, that's like, a good question.
Who's like, let me into the cockpit? I think Musgrove. Like,
maybe.
I just see that in. He's the one who would be able to like swoon or convince the pilot to like let him in to try it out.
It actually wouldn't surprise me if Joe knew how to like
Joe knew
pilot's
how to
license.
Fly.
And...
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's true.
That's funny. I wanted to ask you. We're talking to our pal Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue on a grand old Friday. I wanted to ask you about Paul Skeens, because every time this dude pitches, I am enamored with Marvel at. His raw stuff. He's down in AAA and just continues to be striking guys out at a pretty torrid pace right now. Looks pretty unhittable. Looks like he's filled with all the confidence in the world. Now, the Texas Rangers, more careful with Jack Leiter, came up, didn't have the best debut yesterday, still has really good stuff. But when do you expect a Paul Skeens to make his debut for the Pirates, who are a fun team?
So let's do this first. Comparing Jack Leiter and Paul Skeens is, at one point in time, would have been responsible.
Now, irresponsible now.
They are two different. They are two different species of pitchers. Because Jack Leiter, drafted second overall, famous last name, has backed up since he was drafted. The fastball command's all over the place. The secondary stuff hasn't progressed, and at this point, he's like looks like a back end guy. Unfortunately for the Rangers. And he debuted yesterday, and you could see the issues with his pitch mix right away. Paul Skeens is a moose. I mean, this guy, on a physicality perspective, is unlike any pitcher I've really seen. It's just like there's a thickness to him that is remarkably jarring. He looks like a tight end. And not in a way where he's not like ripped. He's just like, he's a moose, man. He's a moose.
Yeah,
when
thick,
do I expect
man.
To get called up? I would say in a month or so. He's amazing. The fastball velocity is a joke. He really knows how to pitch. I will say this, though. If you're clamoring for Skeens, totally get it. Go watch Jared Jones.
Oh, 100%.
Who the Pirates already have, who they've already called up. Did he face the Padres? Am I mistaken?
No, we haven't seen him yet.
No, you haven't seen him yet. Okay, I saw him in person this week against the Mets. I can't. It's unbelievable. Like if Skeens comes up and is Jared Jones, that's a win. Wow. Jared Jones is throwing 100 miles an hour. He's 22 years old. He's getting swings and misses in the strike zone. I think he had 16 and misses against the Mets, a team that makes a ton of contact. He threw 59 pitches to get through five innings, and they pulled him, and then they blew the game. Jared Jones, I think, is already one of the best 15 pitchers in baseball. And if Paul Skeens comes up and does three quarters of what Jones has accomplished, everyone will be thrilled. Jones already here.
In that game that you saw, this is staggering, 22-year-old, 85% of his pitches were strikes. 85% strikes against, like you said, a team that makes a lot of good contact. Future very bright in Pittsburgh, and really, really good young position players as well coming up through that system. It's fun. Reminds me a little bit, Jake, of your Orioles. And it's just got to be fun to watch these guys on a daily basis. I know Jackson Holiday has struggled a little bit. It's to be expected. A little bit surprising that our Jackson has gotten off to such a hot start. But what are you seeing out of your Orioles right now early in the season?
They bang. They just bang. Everyone bangs. Everyone on the team rakes, except for Jackson Holiday for right now. And it's not just that the guys who were top prospects have come up and been good, right? Like Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman. It's that, like, Ryan O'Hearn,
yeah,
who they snatched off the scrap heap from the Royals after he was butt there for a couple years, has been, I think he has the third best hard hit rate in baseball. I think it's like Otani, Bobby Witt Jr., Ryan O'Hearn. And sure, great. Cedric Mullins has gotten hot. Anthony Santander is starting to hit. But what's been very interesting watching the lineup with Holiday in it, so he hits ninth and Henderson hits first. So what's been happening is, like, Holiday strikes out on a fastball in the strike zone because he's learning how to play baseball still. And then the lineup turns around to Henderson, and he gets the exact same pitch and hits it like 1,000 miles an hour somewhere in the field. And you're like, oh, I can't complain about Jackson Holiday. Like, we have a different one who's already amazing, right? And so things are, it is the part in the movie. This is what being an Orioles fan is like right now. The part in the movie where everything is so good, it's about to go wrong, right? Like, that is the energy. Everyone is happy and whimsical and smiling, and it just feels like there's another shoe to drop, but that's just fandom trauma.
That's just baseball fandom. Yeah,
yeah.
That's exactly right.
Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue is with us, and on your Yahoo Sports platform this week, Jake, you wrote about Marlins manager Skip Schumacher. Now, we are not objective.
No, when it comes to Skip.
In fact, there's a better than average chance he's listening right now in his office in Miami somewhere with his coaching staff. But I want to get your perspective, a little more neutral, objective, outside viewpoint of what's going on with the Miami Marlins, coming off an incredibly exciting, surprising, great season, manager of the year. There should have been a lot of a momentum and excitement, and somehow they've all just killed that in Miami as fast as possible. Like, they were trying to. Like,
they tried to.
They're like... It feels like they're the major league franchise in Cleveland that's trying to move to Miami, except they're already in Miami. Okay, what's going on?
It's a very
they're trying to move to Cleveland, actually.
it's a complicated situation, okay? I know that you all love Skip.
We love Skip.
And Skip is a singular presence in the sport. Like, in talking around with people and reporting this article out, I did not hear a single negative thing about Skip. Like, at all from anybody on or off the record. I was floored by the reputation this guy has earned for himself. Okay. So that's important to understand. Skip almost certainly is not going to be managing the Miami Marlins next season. That is a given. He asked the front office or the ownership group to void his option for next year so that he can, in my understanding, explore the market. Right. Now, how did we get to this point? I actually think that most of the people in this scenario are operating rationally. The ownership group, led by Bruce Sherman, who has been pretty frugal, looked at the organization that Kim Ng was leading and saw success at the major league level and very little else. The infrastructure that the Marlins had in place under Kim Ng was not great. Okay. That should not take away from what she accomplished at the big league level to build the team that made the playoffs last year. Like, that's awesome too. So what Sherman tried to do was go in and hire someone above Kim to, like, build the infrastructure up. And that's where the big mistake was, because Kim totally reasonably said, I'm not going to stick around and have you hire someone over me. I just took you to the playoffs with like $25. Okay. So she leaves. That pisses Skip off, understandably, because they had a good relationship. New guy comes in, Peter Bendix, who I like and I think is going to do a good job there. And he looks at the situation and goes, this is not a good baseball team. I don't think we can win. And so they don't spend. And then once they have injuries to Yuri Perez, who's like a big piece for them, and Sandy Alcantara is missing all year. Like, this is not a good team that can compete, and so they don't sign anybody. And now we're at a point where they're, like, 1-75 to start the year, and Skip has become a lame duck manager. And it's all very bizarre. It's all very uncomfortable. I just have so much faith that Skip is going to maintain his Skipness throughout it all and show up at the yard every day and have good process and help the players around him get better, even if he knows he will not be managing the next good Marlins team. But what's really interesting, one more thing, is what Skip does from here, right? Because he is pretty much accepted as one of the best 5 to 10 managers in the game already, which is amazing considering it's just a second year. And so he's going to hit the managerial free agent market this year and probably get pretty good pay to lead a team. And it's going to be interesting to see what jobs open up and which jobs Skip is going to want to take. And, you know, we'd have no idea what he wants and what sense there is there. But it's just a really interesting storyline to keep an eye on.
I think Jake kind of nailed that pretty well.
Yeah, I did too. Very good.
He nailed that on the good stuff on Skip Schumacher and the Miami Marlins.
Thank you, buddy.
Go read that. I actually, you know, I did a lot of reporting for that.
Good.
I can tell jokes, guys, but I also
did do a little reporting. Guy.
Yeah, no, you're reporting from what our sources tell us. It's fairly accurate.
We've got a good one. We got a good one. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Take care, Jake.
Have a good weekend.
Our weekly segment with the Cespedes Family Barbecue guys, Jake and Jordan, brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. E Asado, if you go up to the Flynn Springs location, also in North Park and at the ballpark, you can check them out this weekend while you're at Petco Park.
I was just telling the missus we need to make the trek out to Grand Ole pretty soon as with the family. Fun place. I drove to pick up some barbecue on a Sunday because I had to get out of my house, and it was delightful. But I want to go sit and eat and enjoy myself out there. So that's going to happen in the next few weeks for sure.
When we come back, I want to do we have some audio of our beloved Sammy Levitt?
Yes.
From last night?
Got to do
Does
a
anyone
little...
know what Sammy was up to last night on what should
great.
Have been an off day?
No.
Bro, just take a day.
It's
okay.
All
do it.
Sam Levitt.
He's just showing us all up.
You'll find out what he was up
like
to.
That.
Coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Made the point a couple of times that the baseball season is a grind, not just for players and coaches and staff members, but for people who have to cover the team on a daily basis, like broadcasters and pre and post game show hosts. Sammy Levitt's going to be working, what, like 162 out of 180 days the rest of the year. So those days that are truly off are rare and special and appreciated. And you certainly wouldn't expect him to go out of his way to go work another baseball game on the days that he actually does have off. But where was Sammy Levitt last night? Nowhere else than Lake Elsinore, California.
Yeah, with Jackson Merrill, too, who was also
surely
there.
Just sitting there and taking in the game, right?
Never had been to the Diamond before, he said, and had a chance to go up. But no, not just as a fan. He was invited into the broadcast booth of the Lake Elsinore Storm as a guest announcer, calling play-by-play in the middle innings and doing color commentary the rest of the time. And I clicked in just to listen to the online stream for an inning or two in the middle of the game, and he was outstanding. Of course, Sammy did Sod Poodles and Corpus Christi, did some minor league baseball play-by-play in the past. He's done a lot of it, and he was quite good, quite sharp, sounded outstanding doing the game. And he actually got a pretty cool game last night against the Visalia Rawhides. Sammy called as the Storm came back to tie the game at 6 in the middle innings. It was still 6-6 in the bottom of the ninth. The Storm had the winning run on base, and Dylan Head, who is probably almost certainly the top prospect that the Padres have currently at the Lake Elsinore Storm, at the plate, batting there from the left side, and here's how it sounded.
New delivery. That one's going to be flared to left field and drop in for a base hit. Are you
That's not
entertained?
That's the other guy.
As Dylan Head wins it for Lake Elsinore.
Are you not
What a moment, and what a nice piece of hitting for Dylan Head.
It
serves
pipes.
One into left field against a hard-throwing Isaiah. And Dylan Head with a wonderful early moment this season in Lake Elsinore. What an ending.
What a pro. Guy sounds fantastic.
He can do it all.
He is the best. I love that guy.
I'm not surprised that he went out and did that because he loves doing play-by-play. That's what his passion is. And so when given the opportunity, you're going to jump at it, even on a day off. He's also young and has no children. So when you're young and have no children, you have boundless energy, boundless, and you don't work mornings, right? You have boundless, you can do, I used to go to work 8-hour days and go to happy hour and go out and play softball during the week, all kinds of fun stuff. Sammy's young, he's spry. He's going to be just fine. And what a great, great job he did. He's what an elite find for this radio station.
So according to Sammy's Twitter feed, the other guy in the booth was Robbie Loya, calling Storm games. Also, according to his Twitter bio, the Cal State University Fullerton play-by-play broadcaster. Good for him, Robbie. I see people going, oh, Sammy's voice is going to be pretty solid compared to anyone's. I thought Robbie did a nice job on that that winning call there. It was fun. It was, you know, minor league, exactly what you'd want to hear in a situation like that. Had all the particulars in place, but that was, it was fun to hear Sammy doing some play-by-play.
Always fun. Sammy's the GOAT.
He'll be back at Petco Park tonight in the Western Metal Supply Company building in the loft for the Eco Water SoCal pregame show beginning at 5:40 this evening as the Padres take on the Toronto Blue Jays in the first of a quick 3-game series. And it's right back on the road again for your Padres next week as they head to Coors Field Monday through Thursday for a 4-game series against the Rockies. First interleague series of the season for the Padres. Last year they went to Toronto, so this year they get to see Toronto, and this is the second year of the new balanced schedule, which Tony Gwynn Jr. was not a big fan of during our roundtable yesterday. You like the balanced schedule?
It literally does not affect my life in any way, shape, or form. None what doesn't affect me, not with travel. It doesn't affect me one bit. I like seeing new players.
It affects your mental state when you don't have to face the Rockies 19 times a year.
And the Dodgers 19 times a year. I want to be playing the Giants and Diamondbacks. And I can see his point there. It's, you know, but again, I do enjoy seeing other players from other teams come to Petco Park. Also, always a nice little recruiting trip for some of these guys, maybe that have never played in San Diego. You know what I mean? Honestly, like, this isn't the worst place to show off to a player that's going to be hitting his arb years in a couple years and like, oh, yeah, I would play here.
For me, I think it's just a more fair way to do it because when you're competing for a wild card spot against teams in other divisions, you really want the schedules to be as similar as possible. And while you're always going to play more games against your division rivals, when you were playing close to 80 games against your division rivals, like 18 to 20 games against the Dodgers, Giants, Rockies, and Diamondbacks, that's a completely different schedule than the teams in the Central that were playing those same number of games against the
100%,
the Reds and the Pirates. It's just going to be way easier for a decent team in the Central in an unbalanced schedule.
You're so right.
To make the playoffs as a wild card. And you shouldn't just be kept out of the playoffs even though you had a really good team because you just had to play a much tougher schedule every year.
Yeah,
and balancing it out a little bit, to me, is just the most fair way to handle it. And when it comes to a league that's going to have wild card spots for a postseason,
I couldn't agree more. And it's a great point you make. You know,
I'm on board with that. But I just hearing Tony, I listened to that part of the roundtable, and I just hadn't really considered or remembered the way it used to be and how you do control your own destiny in a sense that you have 85 games against your division.
It gets so
old. Take care of business
though
in those games. God, it's very monotonous.
It gets so
old. In the old days, when the only way to make the playoffs was winning your division,
right,
of course, that makes a lot more sense. But now that there's wild cards, and there's really one big standings of the entire National League, and that's the one that is often the most important, it makes less sense to play so many games against your own division rivals.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I'm in favor of it. It's, again, for me as a baseball fan, it's fun seeing new teams come in. It's fun to see Vladdy Jr. It's fun to see Bo Bichette. Fun to see these guys. And again, the arms they're bringing in, I mean, good. If you like baseball, these are three good arms they're bringing in, and it's going to test this team's mettle, which is also what you want, right? You want them, let's go against the best.
Tim says they need realignment. It's from everything I've heard, it's coming. As soon as they get to 32, it'll look like the NFL with four team divisions in each league. But while they're still at 15-15 in the American, the National League, I don't think there's going to be a change coming yet. All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got some headlines with an early Rindle report. Then don't forget, top of the hour, it's the manager's report with Mike Schilt, brought to you by SDCCU. We'll talk with the skipper at 9 a.m., all coming up still this morning with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
That was a chaotic break.
It was.
A little bit.
Give me a second, and we'll update you on everything that's happening in our studio momentarily. We also have a Rindle report coming up, and don't forget Mike Schilt, the manager of the San Diego Padres, just back from their road trip, will join us coming up at the top of the hour in our manager's report. Right now, let's get a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Fantastic. Good.
Start off, I got a note in college basketball here that pertains to the local San Diego State Aztecs. Saw that yesterday it was announced that the 2024 Acrisure Classic.
Acrisure.
Get it today.
No idea.
I don't know what it means.
I think it's an insurance company.
Acrisure.
Yeah.
Insurance company. Call your doctor if it lasts more than 4 hours.
Oily stool.
No. Insurance.
Diarrhea.
Insurance. Acrisure.
Well, the 2024 Acrisure Classic is the Palm Springs College Basketball Tournament taking place in November at San Diego State.
At Acrisure Arena.
Go figure. San Diego State was going to be playing in that, along with USC, Arizona State, St. Mary's. But when it was announced yesterday, San Diego State was not on the list. In fact, New Mexico Lobos were on the list.
Okay.
And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago now. I was telling you guys about this new NIL tournament that is rumored to be happening. Not rumored. I mean, it's happening.
Yes.
In Las Vegas sometime in November, where teams are basically playing for money, for NIL money. The winning team, I think it's
like $1 million or $2 million bucks.
Or something like that.
The runner-up gets $1 million in the tournament and divvy it up amongst all their players, and it's a fantastic idea. And San Diego State was rumored to be one of those teams, and with them not listed on the Acrisure Classic, which was at the same weekend.
It's time to get Ben tea leaves out to read them.
These ones are pretty clear, actually.
You have not read the tea leaves in a while.
So you're only allowed to play in one multi-team event, an MTE, in the preseason. The Aztecs have had a fairly regular schedule. They do the Maui Invitational every 4 years. Mm-hmm. They do the Wooden Classic or whatever that one is in Orange County. They do the other one in Hawaii. And now the Continental Tire Arena one in Vegas, which they did last year. It seems like they were switching it out, though, when they were going to do this Palm Springs one. But now that they're pulling out of that, it sounds like they got a better opportunity for this this NIL tournament.
I asked around, and my sources are telling me it is, in fact, because San Diego State pulled out of the Palm Springs tournament so they can play in the Las Vegas tournament. That's not officially announced, but that is... That's what's happening.
Oh, so, good.
San Diego State.
It's a sign, again, of Brian Dutcher being creative, knowing that San Diego State's never going to have the kind of NIL money that Duke or Connecticut or some of the Kentuckys of the world have, but they still need to be able to provide some of the NIL opportunities for their players. If they want to keep getting good players and not losing them to the transfer portal, you got to provide something. And while, they have the Aztec Link and the Mesa Foundation, and they were getting players, nice five-figure NIL deals. To get some real money, they're going to have to get creative. And this tournament is one way where, I mean, think about that. If you were giving your players $20,000 to $40,000 in a year, if they can get $2 million in one tournament and spread that among a 12, 13-person roster, that absolutely skyrockets the NIL money for San Diego State in just one season right there.
That helps with recruiting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we're playing in this tournament. The chance to win some real money. That's pretty cool.
So one more time, that NIL tournament that San Diego State will, in fact, be playing in, it's called the Players Era is what they're calling the tournament. It's going to be at MGM Arena in Las Vegas. And they're starting with 8 teams this year, and then next year it'll be 16 teams.
Killer.
Every team participating gets $1 million. The winning team gets another $1 million.
Wow.
So that's awesome. And then, you know, we're not too far removed from the NCAA tournament. Everybody filled out their brackets. So you recognize some of these names that were also rumored to be a part of that. Alabama, Duke, FAU, Houston, Kansas, Oregon, St. John's, Syracuse, Virginia.
Some good ass company. That's what it boils down to.
That's the tournament you want to be in.
It's some good company. That's where you want to be.
And I think one of the starters on FAU entered the transfer portal, and their point guard. And San Diego State is one of the teams he's looking at to switch to.
Nice.
Which would be a nice pickup for Brian Dutcher here if they can land that guy.
This is good. This is a good point from Satan's Blowfish. He says, you want to keep your players sharp in the offseason? Can't think of a better motivator than a cash tourney.
Yeah.
100%.
No,
man. 100%.
No,
really
kidding.
Cool.
I mean, do the math. What's $2 million if you win the tournament? What's $2 million divided by, call it, 13 players?
Yeah.
I mean, that's some good money right there.
What do you got, Benny?
According to the calculator, $2 million divided by 13 players is about $150,000 each.
Not too shabby.
Come on.
Not too shabby. Yeah. Like,
and
like
even if you spread that out, you can't probably plan it every single year.
Yeah.
But even if you spread that out over, you know, 3 or 4 seasons, that still could be an extra $30,000-$40,000 per player for like 4 years worth of NIL. That's more than they're getting like for one season. This is a huge opportunity.
Split up was $150,000, so just for playing in the tournament, everybody's getting about $75,000.
Yeah, pretty solid.
No problem with that whatsoever. Now, earlier in our 7 o'clock hour, Woodsy, you admitted you were watching NHL playoffs last night.
Correct.
Except it wasn't the playoffs.
No, it was last.
Wasn't even the play-in tournament.
No,
they don't have one.
Neither team is going to the playoffs.
Yeah. You were watching the Marlins taking on the Rockies at the end of the season. Essentially,
that's exactly what I was watching.
Big hockey night for you. So you're a big hockey guy. You remember Gordie Howe,
of course,
right?
Yeah, Hartford Whalers for a time.
So Gordie Howe, one of his many milestones was that he was the oldest player to play professional hockey. He was 52 years and 11 days old when he played his final NHL game back in 1980.
He looked every bit of 52 also. I mean, he looked like your granddad.
Well, everyone always
Everybody
looked older
did.
Back then. We've talked about this.
52 years old.
Well, that record has gone away now.
Remember, Wilfred Brimley was our age when he was in Cocoon.
48 years old.
Everyone just looked older back then.
Now, this was not in the NHL, but Jaromir Jagr played professional hockey last night for the first time since he turned 52, and he scored, and he surpassed Gordie Howe to become the oldest player to take regular playing time in a professional hockey match.
Yeah, but Gordie Howe played in the friggin' NHL.
This was, he rejoined the Kladno Knights, a top team from the Czech Republic, where he's from.
Yeah, I mean, Gordy's still your champ in the NHL. I mean, it was unbelievable. 52 years old.
The oldest.
It was Jagr's 16th game with the team. His 36th season in professional hockey.
It's amazing.
The oldest baseball player technically was Satchel Paige. He came back at age 59, but wasn't playing regularly.
Right.
He just came and appeared in a game. Modern-wise, Jamie Moyer was the, modern player who lasted the longest. He pitched until he was 49 and a half in Major League Baseball.
I feel like he was still effective.
The oldest player right now is Justin Verlander at 41 years old when he comes back and gets started.
Interesting.
I didn't think he would be the oldest, but that
either.
Makes sense.
I guess it does. They're not even signing 34-year-olds anymore right now in Major League Baseball.
All right, and then finally, we have a show talking about some new music from one Taylor Swift. Yeah. You guys heard of her?
New Music Friday.
New Music Friday. It's a big day. Pearl
Jam.
She's
a country artist, right? I remember.
Yeah,
she's
dating some football player.
Okay.
Yeah. She released her new album last night at midnight. Albums. Yeah, it was. So she did it with her last album. Midnights came out at midnight, and then at 3 a.m., 3 hours later, the 3 a.m. edition came out with like twice as many songs.
It's insane.
She did it again last night with the new album with a 2 a.m. version with like, it's got 34 total songs or something.
It's bananas.
But I was wondering if you listened to any of the Pearl Jam album that came out last night as well.
So it was a,
Dark Matters?
Dark Matters. As a longtime Pearl Jam fan, I did, and I like it. I like it a lot. The single Dark Matters is really good. And then they put out a couple songs yesterday, and I listened to them, and I liked those a lot. I was texting with a buddy. We discovered Pearl Jam together many.
You discovered Pearl Jam.
You signed them?
No, we were together when we discovered Pearl Jam. Then and
other people had already discovered them before you did, though.
And I got, it was like a Sound Warehouse, and I had a gift card, and I went into Sound Warehouse, and I bought some, you know.
Is that different than the warehouse? I remember W-H-E-R-E-H-O, the video and the store, right? You're talking about?
Sound Warehouse, yeah.
We didn't have those down here. Well, we just had the warehouse.
Okay, we had Sound Warehouse.
Sound Warehouse. Yeah,
that's where we went.
Okay.
We walked in. I don't know. So we walked in, and I had this money to spend, and I bought a couple things, and I asked the guy for a recommendation, and it was sitting on like a display. It was Pearl Jam 10. And he goes, this one. And I go, oh, cool. Where can I get it? He goes, we don't have any more. I go, I'll buy that one. And he goes, all right, fine. So he sold me the one that had already been opened. And I went in, we put it in the car, and we went, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. It was great. And I like the new sound. And it's, when a band gets older.
Are they not grunge anymore? Or are they different?
Grunge is dead.
It's not typical grungy Pearl
Jam. It's just like,
things you get used to.
It does. Like when your band from your youth gets old, it's just it's a weird feeling. Like very few are able to keep it riding where you're like, I can't wait for the new record. Like I know it's going to be good. So I'm into it so far. I really want to see them in concert again because they put on, I mean, they'll play for 3 hours and they'll play a different set every night. I'm really hoping for a Sphere residency where I can go and do that again because that was.
You literally just want every band you've ever loved so to much. Play the Sphere now.
In one day. You can do a 24-hour concert of all my
the
favorites.
The Sphere Festival.
Yeah, start working on that. It's so far so good. I'm going to listen to the whole thing today for sure.
Would the Tier 1 support us if we did a Ben and Woods live
please
as the Sphere?
No, Adam will call me later today. Hey, it's not a bad idea. And I'm going to go.
Are you guys serious?
Odyssey, we're going to need $58 million to set that up just to get started.
Way more. He will call me. Should we do a music festival? No problem. Please. Please. Just let me enjoy my Friday.
Thank you, Pauly.
Thank you, Pauly.
All right. So we had some chaos here, and it involved a couple of food drops while we were in our last break. First of all, I want to thank the guys at SDCCU came by and brought some donut bar donuts to remind everyone, donut forget to vote for SDCCU in the San Diego's best poll in the Union Tribune, which is up now. It's their annual like readers' favorites awards where you go online and you can vote for the next few weeks for your favorite restaurants and servers and all
radio
different
shows.
Kinds of
radio
yes,
shows.
All different kinds of goods and services. Like they're in the banking category. We're in the media category, and you can actually vote for Ben and Woods for best radio show, best morning show, and best drive time show in that poll as well. So donut forget, thanks to SDCCU, to vote for them and us in the UT Readers poll. And if you're at it, you can also vote for best San Diego television sportscaster, which I am also nominated for, if you'd like to include
me. Who are the nominees? Do you remember?
Let's see, the nominees are, I've got them right here. Ben Higgins, KGTV Channel 10, ABC. Brandon Stone, KUSI Channel 951 Independent. Darnay Tripp, KNSD Channel 739. Derek Togerson, KNSD Channel 739. John Howard, KFMB Channel 8 CBS. And Troy Hirsch, KSWB Channel 5 Fox.
So you've easiest,
got six choices.
Easiest decision
thank you.
I've ever made.
Thank you.
Darnay Tripp.
What?
And it's not
Run
even close.
Darnay?
It's not even particularly close.
He just crushes
He crushes it. Huge Darnay
Troy
Tripp.
Is very offended right now.
I love Troy, too. I played ball with him at fantasy camp, but he's no Darnay. Nobody's Darnay Tripp. That's my guy.
Is Are you easy? Serious, really?
It's an easy
no.
choice. It's like a moronically easy choice.
I'm looking at this logically, and Darnay is great, but he and Derek, they're the same station. They're both nominated. They're going to cancel some of their votes out, which I think leaves me now as the favorite.
You think you're the favorite?
Well, I'm listed first. I believe it's alphabetical by first name, but I am listed first there.
That's got to be a good sign.
That's got to be a very good sign. Ben comes before Brandon, comes before Darnay, comes before Derek.
That's right.
John, and then poor Troy, T, near the end of the alphabet, he's listed last.
we can't go wrong with all those selections. They're all great dudes and talented in their own right. But yeah, it's far and above Darnay Tripp. It's easy. That's an easy one.
And then we also have Home State coming in with some breakfast tacos. Oh, so we are fully loaded for breakfast this morning.
Roll me out of here today.
Had the Trinity taco. Oh, with a little of the green, the tomatillo salsa.
It's
so
fantastic.
Outstanding every time.
Oceanside, go get some in you. Incredible. Incredible breakfast tacos.
Right there, Vista Way. You just head west, and it says before you hit the ocean at the 101, you're going to see Home State right there. Outstanding. So we are now full. And we still have an hour to go. And we got the manager coming up next. Mike Schilt will join us for the manager's report when we return with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Stay tuned for The Skipper coming up next. Imagine how life... That was a chaotic break.
It was.
A little bit.
Give me a second, and we'll update you on everything that's happening in our studio momentarily. We also have a Rindle report coming up, and don't forget Mike Schilt, the manager of the San Diego Padres, just back from their road trip, will join us coming up at the top of the hour in our manager's report. Right now, let's get a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Start off, I got a note in college basketball here that pertains to the local San Diego State Aztecs. Saw that yesterday it was announced that the 2024 Acrisure Classic.
Acrisure.
Get it today.
No idea.
I don't know what it means.
I think it's an insurance company.
Acrisure.
Yeah.
Insurance company. Call your doctor if it lasts more than 4 hours.
Oily stool.
No. Insurance.
Diarrhea.
Insurance. Acrisure.
Well, the 2024 Acrisure Classic is the Palm Springs College Basketball Tournament taking place in November. Okay. At San Diego State was
at Acrisure Arena.
At Acrisure Arena.
Picture.
San Diego State was going to be playing in that, along with USC, Arizona State, St. Mary's. But when it was announced yesterday, San Diego State was not on the list. In fact, New Mexico Lobos were on the list.
Okay.
And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago now.
Yeah.
I was telling you guys about this new NIL tournament that is rumored to be happening. Not rumored. I mean, it's happening.
Yes.
In Las Vegas sometime in November, where teams are basically playing for money, for NIL money. The winning team, I think
it's like $1 million bucks.
Something like that. The runner-up gets $1 million in the tournament and divvy it up amongst all their players, and it's a fantastic idea. And San Diego State was rumored to be one of those teams, and with them not listed on the Acrisure Classic, which was at the same weekend.
It's time to get Ben tea leaves out to read them.
These ones are pretty clear, actually.
You have not read the tea leaves in a while.
So you're only allowed to play in one multi-team event, an MTE, in the preseason. The Aztecs have had a fairly regular schedule. They do the Maui Invitational every 4 years. Mm-hmm. They do the Wooden Classic or whatever that one is in Orange County. They do the other one in Hawaii. And now the Continental Tire Arena one in Vegas, which they did last year. It seems like they were switching it out, though, when they were going to do this Palm Springs one. But now that they're pulling out of that, it sounds like they got a better opportunity for this NIL tournament.
I asked around, and my sources are telling me it is, in fact, because San Diego State pulled out of the Palm Springs tournament so they can play in the Las Vegas tournament. That's not officially announced, but that's what's happening.
That's good.
San Diego State.
It's a sign, again, of Brian Dutcher being creative, knowing that San Diego State's never going to have the the kind of NIL money that Duke or Connecticut or some of the you know, Kentuckys of the world have, but they still need to be able to provide some of the NIL opportunities for their players. If they want to keep getting good players and not losing them to the transfer portal, you got to provide something. And while, you know, they have the Aztec Link and the Mesa Foundation, and they were getting players, you know, nice five-figure NIL deals. To get some real money, they're going to have to get creative. And this tournament is one way where, I mean, think about that. If you were giving your players $20,000 to $40,000 in a year, if they can get $2 million in one tournament and spread that among a 12, 13-person roster, that absolutely skyrockets the NIL money for San Diego State in just one season right there.
That helps with recruiting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we're playing in this tournament. The chance to win some real money. That's pretty cool.
So one more time, that NIL tournament that San Diego State will, in fact, be playing in, it's called the Players Era is what they're calling the tournament. It's going to be at MGM Arena in Las Vegas. And they're starting with 8 teams this year, and then next year it'll be 16 teams.
Killer.
Every team participating gets $1 million. The winning team gets another $1 million. That's awesome. And then, you know, we're not too far removed from the NCAA tournament. Everybody filled out their brackets. So you recognize some of these names that were also rumored to be a part of that. Alabama, Duke, FAU, Houston, Kansas, Oregon, St. John's, Syracuse, Virginia.
Some good-ass company. That's what it boils
down to,
too.
That's the tournament you want to be in.
It's some good company. That's where you want to be.
And I think one of the starters on FAU entered the transfer portal, and their point guard. And San Diego State is one of the teams he's looking at to switch to.
Nice.
Which would be a nice pickup for Brian Dutcher here if they can land that guy.
This is good. This is a good point from Satan's Blowfish. He says, you want to keep your players sharp in the offseason? Can't think of a better motivator than a cash tourney.
Yeah.
100%.
No,
man. 100%.
No,
really
kidding.
Cool.
I mean, do the math. What's $2 million if you win the tournament? What's $2 million divided by, call it, 13 players?
Yeah.
I mean, that's some good money right there.
What do you got, Benny?
According to the calculator, $2 million divided by 13 players is about $150,000 each.
Not too shabby.
Come on.
Not too shabby. Yeah. Like,
Even if you spread that out, you can't probably plan it every single year.
Yeah.
But even if you spread that out over, you know, 3 or 4 seasons, that still could be an extra $30,000-$40,000 per player for like 4 years worth of NIL. That's more than they're getting like for one season. This is a huge opportunity.
$2 million split up was $150,000. So just for playing in the tournament, everybody's getting $75,000.
Yeah. Pretty solid.
No problem with that whatsoever. Now, earlier in our 7 o'clock hour, Woodsy, you admitted you were watching NHL playoffs last night.
Correct.
Except that wasn't the playoffs.
No, it was last
game. Wasn't even the play-in tournament.
No,
they don't have one.
Neither team is going to the playoffs.
Yeah. You were watching the Marlins taking on the Rockies at the end of the season, essentially.
That's exactly what I was watching.
Big hockey night for you. So you're a big hockey guy. You remember Gordie Howe,
of course,
right?
Yeah, Hartford Whalers for a time.
So Gordie Howe, one of his many milestones was that he was the oldest player to play professional hockey. He was 52 years and 11 days old when he played his final NHL game back in 1980.
He looked every bit of 52 also. I mean, he looked like your granddad.
Well, everybody looked older
did.
Back then. We've talked about this.
52 years old.
Well, that record has gone away now.
Remember, Wilfred Brimley was our age when he was in Cocoon.
48 years old.
Everyone just looked older back then.
Now, this was not in the NHL, but Jaromir Jagr played professional hockey last night for the first time since he turned 52, and he scored, and he surpassed Gordie Howe to become the oldest player to take regular playing time in a professional hockey match.
Yeah, but Gordie Howe played in the friggin' NHL.
This was, he rejoined the Kladno Knights, a top team from the Czech Republic, where he's from.
Yeah, I mean, Gordy's still your champ in the NHL. I mean, it was unbelievable. 52 years old.
The oldest. It was Jagr's 16th game team, his 36th season in professional hockey.
That's amazing.
The oldest baseball player technically was Satchel Paige. He came back at age 59, but he wasn't playing regularly.
Right.
He just came and appeared in a game. Modern-wise, Jamie Moyer was the, like, modern player who lasted the longest. He pitched until he was 49 and a half in Major League Baseball.
I feel like he was still effective.
The oldest player right now is Justin Verlander at 41 years old when he comes back and gets started.
Interesting.
I didn't think he would be the oldest, but that
either.
Makes sense.
I guess it does. They're not even signing 34-year-olds anymore right now in Major League Baseball.
All right, and then finally, we had a show talking about some new music from one Taylor Swift. Yeah. You guys heard of her?
New Music Friday.
New Music Friday. It's a big day.
Big day.
Pearl
She's
Jam,
a country artist, right? I remember.
Yeah,
I
she's remember dating some football player. Okay. Yeah. So she released her new album last night
albums.
At midnight. Albums. Yeah, it was... So she did it with her last album. Midnight came out at midnight, and then at 3 a.m., 3 hours later, the 3 a.m. edition came out with like twice as many songs.
That's insane.
She did it again last night with the new album with a 2 a.m. version with like, it's got 34 total songs or something.
It's bananas.
But I was wondering if you listened to any of the Pearl Jam album that came out last night as well.
So as a, you know.
Dark Matters?
Dark Matters. As a longtime Pearl Jam fan. I did, and I like it. I like it a lot. The single, Dark Matters, is really good. And then they put out a couple songs yesterday, and I listened to them, and I liked those a lot. I was texting with a buddy. We discovered Pearl Jam together many, 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 many.
You discovered Pearl Jam?
You signed them?
No, we were together when we discovered Pearl Jam. Then and
other people had already discovered them before you did, though.
And I got, it was like a Sound Warehouse, and I had a gift card, and I went into Sound Warehouse, and I bought some, you know.
Is that different than the warehouse? I remember WHEREHO, the video and the store, right? You're talking
Sound
about
warehouse, yeah.
We didn't have those down here. Well, we just had the warehouse.
Okay, we had Sound Warehouse.
Sound Warehouse.
Yeah, that's where we went.
Okay.
We walked in. I don't know. So we walked in and I had this money to spend. And I bought a couple things and I asked the guy for a recommendation. And it was sitting on like a display. It was Pearl Jam 10. And he goes, this one. And I go, oh, cool. Where can I get it? He goes, we don't have any more. I go, I'll buy that one. And he goes, all right, fine. So he sold me the one that had already been opened. And I went in, we put it in the car, and we went, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. It was great. And I like the new sound. And it's when a band gets older.
Are they not grunge anymore? Or are they different?
Grunge is dead.
That's
not. It's not typical grungy Pearl
It's
jam.
Just like...
When you get used to
it, does like when your band from your youth gets old, it's just it's a weird feeling. Like very few are able to keep it riding. Where you're like, I can't wait for the new record. Like I know it's going to be good. So I'm into it so far. I really want to see them in concert again because they put on. I mean, they'll play for 3 hours and they'll play a different set every night. I'm really hoping for a Sphere residency where I can go and do that again because that was
you literally just want every band you've ever loved
so
to
much.
Play the Sphere now
in one day. You can do a 24-hour concert of all my
the
favorites.
Woods Sphere Festival.
Yeah, start Sphere. Working on that. It's so far so good. I'm gonna listen to the whole thing today for sure.
Would the Tier 1 support us if we did a Ben and Woods live
Please
as
don't.
The Sphere?
No, Adam will call me later today. Hey, it's not a bad idea. And I'm going to go.
Are you guys serious?
Odyssey, we're going to need $58 million to set that up just to get started.
Way more. He will call me. Should we do a music festival? Bro, please. Please. Just let me enjoy my Friday.
Thank you, Polly.
Thank you, Polly.
All right. So we had some chaos here, and it involved a couple of food drops while we were in our last break. First of all, I want to thank the guys at SDCCU came by and brought some donut bar donuts to remind everyone, donut forget to vote for SDCCU in the San Diego's best poll in the Union Tribune, which is up now. It's their annual like readers' favorites awards where you go online and you can vote for the next few weeks for your favorite restaurants and servers and all
Radio
different
shows.
Kinds of
Radio
yes,
shows.
All different kinds of goods and services. Like they're in the banking category. We're in the media category, and you can actually vote for Ben and Woods. For best radio show, best morning show, and best drive time show in that poll as well. So donut forget, thanks to SDCCU, to vote for them and us in the UT Readers poll. And if you're at it, you can also vote for best San Diego television sportscaster, which I am also nominated for, if you'd like to include
me. Who are the nominees? Do you remember?
Let's see, the nominees are, I've got them right here. Ben Higgins, KGTV Channel 10, ABC. Brandon Stone, KUSI Channel 951 Independent. Darnay Tripp, KNSD Channel 739. Derek Togerson, KNSD Channel 739. John Howard, KFMB Channel 8 CBS. And Troy Hirsch, KSWB Channel 5 Fox.
So you've
got six choices.
Easiest decision
Thank you.
I've ever made.
Thank you.
Darnay Tripp.
What?
And it's not
Run
even off. Close.
Darnay.
It's not even particularly close.
He just crushes
it. He crushes it. Huge Darnay.
Troy is very offended right now.
I love Troy, too. I played ball with him at fantasy camp, but he's no Darnay. Nobody's Darnay Tripp. That's my guy.
Are you serious? Really? It's an easy choice.
It's like a moronically easy choice.
I'm looking at this logically, and Darnay is great, but he and Derek, they're the same station. They're both nominated. They're going to cancel some of their votes out, which I think leaves me now as the favorite.
Hmm. You think you're the favorite?
Well, I'm listed first. I believe it's alphabetical by first name, but I am listed first there.
That's got to be a good sign.
That's got to be a very good sign. Ben comes before Brandon, comes before Darnay, comes before Derek.
That's right.
John, and then poor Troy, T, near the end of the alphabet, he's listed last.
We can't go wrong with all those selections. They're all great dudes and talented in their own right, but yeah, it's far and above Darnay Tripp. It's easy. That's an easy one.
And then we also have Home State coming in with some breakfast tacos. So we are fully loaded for breakfast this morning.
Roll me out of here today.
Had the Trinity taco. With a little of the green, the tomatillo salsa.
It's
so
fantastic.
Outstanding every time.
Oceanside, go get some in you. Incredible. Incredible breakfast tacos.
Right there, Vista Way. You just head west, and it's just before you hit the ocean at the 101, you're going to see Home State right there. Outstanding. So we are now full. And we still have an hour to go. And we got the manager coming up next. Mike Schilt will join us for the manager's report when we return with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Stay tuned for The Skipper coming up next.